Al, got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon, welcome, or good evening, I should say. I guess it's afternoon somewhere. We live on a globe, after all. But good evening, welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And also a reminder that you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can get us there as well. And you can even watch us on YouTube in just a few minutes. I mean, it's going now, but I'll have it shared over to our Facebook page. That's usually the easiest way to find it. And so I'm just kind of working on doing that as we're starting the program here. But now we're going to go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory. We just ask, Lord, that you could use us to, if there's somebody that's searching, that we can help point them to Christ through the things that we talk about this evening, and also for believers that we can encourage one another in our walk with you and help believers grow closer to you in their understanding of you and your word, Lord. Father, just use us for that purpose as well on the program tonight. We just thank you again, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, busy week this past week. It's always easy to come on the radio when we had a busy week. I hope you had a chance to watch some of the coverage of the 47th annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. Huge turnout. I haven't had a chance to see the figures for the best count. I believe it's, they're saying over 100,000 at least. And I saw some of the pictures online, some things, and just tremendous number of people. And you know, the amazing thing is, you can always tell when group of people who are on the right side of things, marches in Washington, D.C., they clean up after themselves. Isn't that amazing? I always find it so amazing that people on the left, especially environmentalists, just trash the place when they're there and don't seem to know what a trash can is or a trash bag. And it was even the, if you remember the gun rights, the Second Amendment rights rally in Richmond, Virginia, the previous week, is where there was actually people going around with trash bags, asking people for their trash to clean up after themselves when they were there, and kind of amazing. That's kind of one of my theories is you can tell how conservative a demonstration is by the amount of trash they leave behind or don't leave behind. The further to the left they are, the larger the piles of trash and debris that are left behind where they were at. We're going to talk a little bit tonight, hopefully, about the March for Life and some of the amazing things. Hope you had a chance to hear President Trump as he was giving his historic speech, the first sitting president ever to come live to one of these rallies, one of these marches. And I know he's addressed it by video link in the past, and I believe President George W. Bush did it. I believe other presidents have. I don't know that President Obama even acknowledged it, but then he wasn't much of a pro-life sort of guy, was he? But it just was good. You can go to my Facebook page and you can find the text there. I have a link to the text for President Trump's speech. And or if you go to, there's a great website you can go to called LifeSight News. It's all one word, LifeSightNews.com. And they have the full text. And we might go through a little bit of that. It wasn't a long speech, but he had some really, really nice points that he brought out. Very profoundly pro-life speech. And so we may touch upon some of that. I like this one part where he said, "And to all the moms here today, we celebrate you and we declare that mothers are heroes. Your strength, devotion, and drive is what powers our nation. Because of you, our country has been blessed with amazing souls who have changed the course of human history. We cannot know what our citizens yet unborn will achieve, the dreams they will imagine, the masterpieces they will create, the discoveries they will make. But we know this: every life brings love into this world, every child brings joy to a family, every person is worth protecting." And then he said this: "And above all, we know that every human soul is divine, and every human life, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of Almighty God." And that was a tremendous statement made by a sitting president live at the 47th annual March for Life event in Washington, D.C. And of course, that's remembering the Holocaust of the unborn children that's been occurring in this country since the Roe v. Wade decision 47 years ago that overturned abortion laws in the various states. People say, well, abortion is the law of the land now because of that. No, it's not. That's absolutely not. All that the court did was make a judicial finding. And the judicial finding found that the state laws were claimed that the state laws were unconstitutional. They manufactured a right to privacy out of the, I believe it was the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution. And it's what they manufactured is not there. Even many pro-abortion individuals readily admit that it was a bad case law. It was just bad and needs to be revisited. And thank God we do have some cases that are working through the pipeline. There are cases coming through the pipeline that they're working their way through the federal courts, and eventually they'll hopefully one or more of them will find their way to the United States Supreme Court. And we do have the very real possibility of overturning the Roe versus Wade decision and returning abortion laws and determination of what is allowed and what's not allowed back to the states. And that's where it should be under our constitutional form of government. Our Constitution has checks and balances between the legislative, judicial, and executive branches of the federal government for a reason. And if those checks and balances are not properly applied, then they don't do any good. It's like having the best brakes in the world on your car, and you're barreling down the road towards some debris in the road. If you never touch your brakes, they don't do you a bit of good, no matter how good they are. And if we don't abide by the Constitution that we have, no matter how good it is, if we don't uphold it, it does us absolutely no good. So pray for our country. Now pray for the courts, pray for the Supreme Court, pray that the right case will come through and Roe versus Wade will be overturned and this will go back to the states. Now, is it going to be a bit of work? Sure, all 50 states, believers and pro-life advocates are going to have to get active at the state level. They're going to have to let their voices be heard in their states, in their state capitals, and they're going to have to work in order to be able to protect life in each of the 50 states. Will some of the states, like perhaps New York State, Virginia State, you know, where you had the governor, the current governor of Virginia, who said that a child should be allowed to be born and then laid on a table and kept comfortable while the parents and the doctors decide whether or not the child should live. And if they decide, and this guy's a neurological pediatrician or pediatric neurologist, however you say that. But saying with a straight face that they make a decision whether or not to kill a born child. It's not even talking about abortion anymore. Talking about flat-out infanticide. And then, of course, you had the New York legislature that erupted in cheers and hoots and whistles and claps as they passed legislation allowing babies to be aborted and ripped apart and killed right up until the moment of birth. These things are ghoulish. And so we have our work cut out for us. I'm optimistic that if the Lord tarries in a few years, especially if we get President Trump a second term, we will see Roe versus Wade overturned. It'll be turned back to the states where it should be decided on a state-by-state basis. And God's people will have to step up their game and get in the fight and become active advocates for life. Well, you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. We've got a couple of people calling in already. Warn you ahead of time, I've been having some problems with some of our phone lines, and some of them might be a little scratchy, and if you're trying to call in and you have a problem and somehow or another your call gets dropped, do call back. They're working on some of the lines here at the station, at the studio, so hopefully won't have any problems tonight. But we've got Daryl in Florida calling in tonight. Daryl, welcome to the program.
Hey, Pastor Al, how you doing?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay in this 82-degree
You didn't even give me a chance to ask. We're right about 32. We're right about freezing. Last I looked at the temperature, it was 32 degrees. But that's better than it was last week. Last week, I slipped and slid all the way to the station and then slipped and slid all the way home. Today we just had a little spotty snow coming down on the way up here, and it's really not bad. It's more wet than anything else.
Oh, okay. Hey, I wanted to go a different direction. I hope you
yes,
don't
sir.
Mind.
Yes, sir. Oh, no, not at all.
But more power to the anti-abortion people. But I wanted to say this because of, you know, the tragedy that happened today, and I was talking to somebody. I'll just briefly ask this, and then I'll get off the air. Mm-hmm. But the scripture that says that our life is like a vapor.
Right.
If you could find that scripture, but I was thinking about our life is like a vapor.
Mm-hmm.
Let me that scripture.
Yeah, it talks about the brevity. Now I'm going to have to remember here is vapor. I think it's going to be spelled V-A-P-O-U-R because it's in the King James Bible, and they're going to go with the English
right.
spelling. It's just like Savior is S-A-V-I-O-U-R. Yep, it's O-U-R. See, the British like to get that extra U in there.
Right, and the way I was trying to, when talking to somebody, was like, remember you were cooking something in the kitchen, and you lift off the top to a pot, and you see mm-hmm. the steam come up. But after a while, it dissipates.
Oh, yeah.
And from God's perspective, in eternity versus time, that's why God is saying that our life is like a vapor.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage all believers to be on your duty station.
Now, right.
In the military, you know exactly mm-hmm. what I'm talking about. The klaxons are sounding. Be on your duty station.
Absolutely.
Because we don't know when the Lord is going to return. Yes, we have eternal life in us. We want to be like Paul. We want to maximize what we're supposed to do while we're down here. And we don't know how we're going to be called home. When is our last day? And I think it was shocking to a lot of people. That individual, he looked like he had, you know, the world on his shoulder. He private jet, family, and all this kind of stuff, all the money in the world. And all of a sudden, he's gone. And it's like mm-hmm. everybody's like, no, not him, but tomorrow is not promised to anybody.
Right, right. Well, and of course, you're talking about Kobe Bryant. I heard that in the news as I was coming up, a helicopter accident himself, his 13-year-old daughter. Right. I believe there was a coach from some high school thing or something, and a couple other people, but everybody on the helicopter died. And you're absolutely right. He was, what, 40-some years old, I think, early 40s. And
young,
the world was at his feet, and successful, and all these things that he had going for him, and he didn't get on that helicopter expecting to die.
Wow! And think about that.
Yeah,
you didn't think that in 2020, in January, the last week of January, that's going to be. One of those days is going to be your last day here on earth. And another scripture just came through my mind, and it came through, and it just went through. But, you know, tomorrow is not promised to us.
Right. Well, the scripture just came to my mind was in 2 Corinthians 6:2, where he said, I've heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Because we have now, but we're not guaranteed tomorrow.
Yes. And I would just, but that scripture, I couldn't find it. I wonder, could you, if you would have found it, vapor.
Right. I've got that one right here, too. And, you know, and you're talking about that, and you talked about lifting a pan off from, or lid off from a pan. Of course, at 82 degrees down there in Florida, you would not experience this right now. But if you went outside here, you breathe out. And as your breath goes out, the vapor, it's kind of fun. You get a flashlight on some of these really crisp, cold nights, and you breathe out a deep breath, and you try to follow it with the beam of the flashlight and see how long it takes before it dissipates. But that vapor, whether it's from lifting the pan on a pot that's cooking on the stove, or stepping outside on a crisp, cool or cold evening, and you breathe out, and that vapor just travels for a short time, and then it's gone. And our life is like that. Whether we live 5 years, 50 years, 100 years, it doesn't matter. In light of eternity, we're just here but a brief time. What was it? Shakespeare said that all the world is a stage, and we're just actors on it or something.
The one who took his, a lot of his stuff from
the Bible
itself.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, it's the, even we're saved, but the big deception for a lot of people, and I have an unsaved family member, you know, he's just saying, well, that just shows you got to live the best that you can and try to enjoy life and whatever, and when it's over, it's over. No.
And you're absolutely right, because when we die, there's no second chances. You know, absent from the body, if we've put our faith in Christ, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I believe it's 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, where he said, absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. And going back to this vapor thing, it's kind of interesting, because at the moment of death, when the soul and the spirit separate from the body, because that's what physical death is. The soul and the spirit separate from the physical body. And we take that physical body and we put it in a casket and we have a funeral. And you know, with Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the other ones that were killed tragically on that that helicopter crash today, that there's going to be funerals, and the news is going to cover certainly Kobe Bryant's funeral. And there's going to be people and dignitaries and famous people and entertainers and ball players and all kinds of people there. And the body of Kobe Bryant is going to be laying in that casket. But his soul and spirit are already somewhere else. I'm not a big basketball fan. I've heard it said that Kobe Bryant was supposed to be a born-again Christian, and I don't know that for sure. Like I said, the only reason I know his name is because I remember when my daughter and her husband were watching the playoffs a few years ago when LeBron James was here in Cleveland, and he was You know, the Cleveland Cavaliers were playing, what was that, Golden Gate? I can't think what their team is. Flash, is it? Golden State, I was going to say Flashes. See how close I am. Golden State Warriors. And, you know, and they were playing. Remember, they were a couple of times, you know, back and forth against each other, remember? And I think one year they won, another year Cleveland won and all that. And I just remember his name from, if I'm getting the right guy. Am I thinking of the right guy? I don't know.
Yeah, but he didn't play.
Oh, he played for the Lakers. I'm confusing him.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking Stephen Curry. I was confusing Stephen Curry. Yeah. Well,
yeah, I know you have a lot of callers, and I just wanted to, if we had time, but I wanted to say this as I let you go, that the deception of the enemy is that, and I thank God for his grace, you got time.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that right now. No, you
don't. No, now's the accepted time.
You have time. You don't. If you feel the unction of the Holy Spirit calling on you now, for salvation, take it. Don't put it off. Don't
absolutely
wait.
Absolutely. That's excellent advice, Derek. I appreciate that. Or Daryl.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm looking at Daryl there in Florida. Not Derek in Florida, Daryl. But I appreciate that, Daryl. And that's absolutely right. That's why Paul wrote, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I apologize to the ball NBA fans out there. At least I got NBA right, I guess. But I apologize to the NBA fans of putting Kobe Bryant out there in California. Yeah, the Lakers. Now I got the two confused in my head. That's how much I follow it. But I do recall that now. But even so, what I was saying is, hey, people are going to be there, and his body is going to be laying in that casket. But where's his soul and his spirit at right now? And I don't know. I mean, the guy I was thinking of, Stephen Curry, I heard was supposed to be a born-again Christian, but I don't know about. So hopefully at some point in his life he put his faith in Christ as his Savior, because I know a lot of if he was raised Catholic or raised Baptist. In fact, I remember a guy used to be on the radio, Oliver B. Green. Some people might remember him from back years ago, and he was a Baptist evangelist, and he would always close his program praying for that poor lost church member, because as we all know, or should know, being a member of a church, Catholic Church, Baptist Church, Methodist Church, doesn't matter what church, being a member of a church doesn't get us into heaven. It's what have we done with Christ? And when our time comes, whether it's suddenly or whether it's expected or unexpected, it doesn't matter. When we stand before God and we say, well, you know, I was a good Methodist, he's going to say, yeah, but what did you do with my son? What did you do with Jesus? Well, you know, I was a good Baptist. I was a deacon in the Baptist church. Surely that counts. I was a Sunday school teacher in a Brethren church. Surely that counts for something. He's going to say, what did you do with my son? What do you mean? Did you trust him as your Lord and Savior? And if you can't say that you did, you're not going to heaven no matter what church you went to. No matter how serious or devoted to your church that you were, it's only without Christ. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And there's a way that seems right unto man, the Bible says, but the end thereof is death. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. You don't get to God through the Baptist church. You don't get to God through the Presbyterian church. You don't get to God through the Lutheran church or any other church. You only get to God through Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross. He went to the cross. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us. He took our sins upon his own self as he died and poured out his blood as a sacrifice for our sins. And then he said, it is finished. And he died on that cross, was buried, and then rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. So here's what we need to do. We need to admit that we've sinned and we can't get ourselves into heaven. There's no good that we can do, no money that we can give, no church that we can join, no creed that we can memorize. The only thing is by faith we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I have sinned. I don't deserve heaven, much like the prodigal son said, Father, I've sinned. I don't deserve to even be your son. We don't deserve heaven. When we admit that to ourselves, God already knows it. When we admit it to God, we're really admitting it to ourselves. I can't get there on my own. My church can't get me there. My money can't get me there. My good name can't get me there. My family can't get me there. Only Christ and what Christ accomplished on the cross. And when we do that by faith, we throw ourselves upon the mercy of the Lord, trusting and believing that his sacrifice and the blood that he shed cleanses from all sin. And when we do that, an amazing thing happens. The Bible says God gives us the new birth. It's called being born again. It's the salvation that we talk about, where a new creature in Christ is created. Our old dead spirit is made alive, and we're adopted into the family of Christ, and our sins are forgiven. God says it's as if they were thrown as far as the east is from the west, and he says, I'll remember them no more. And according to Romans chapter 3, the Bible says he literally puts his righteousness on us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible says when we put our faith in Christ as our Savior, he literally puts his righteousness on us. And then when he looks at us, he sees his own righteousness. He sees himself covering us. Jesus Christ, the atonement, the covering, the payment for our sin, the propitiation for our sin. Well, we could talk more about that, but we're fast running out of time before the break comes up. We've got another caller that we'll have to get to after the break, but we will be on until midnight tonight. Don't go away. Just a few announcements during the break. I hope you'll stick with us. A lot more to talk about, and I want to touch upon House Bill 369 if we get a chance. Look that up on our website as well. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com
That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to have you give us a call here tonight. And you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. Reminder that we're brought to you tonight not only by the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor in Richfield, but also we're brought to you tonight by the East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you've never been to East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, let them know that you heard about us and mention Live with Pastor Al. Let them know you heard about them here on our program. And you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's a great deal. But that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, 4889 Turney Road. Call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program here this afternoon, and glad to have you with us tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events, as I said, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. We've got Terry, who's been patiently waiting as well. And Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. I just listening to what you had to say. It's pretty interesting, you know, about the Lord, about being saved.
Yeah,
are we saved through faith, not of works, lest any man shall boast.
Absolutely, and you know, when you think about that, and you think about that tragedy, and I just heard about it this evening. I was wrong in the person that I thought that it was, but still, the whole idea there, when you think about it, that here's somebody, they had their life going fine, they had everything, you know, would appear that they had everything that you could want, and just that fast, you know, everything's right. Changed.
That's one reason why I called in is, you know, the Job the Mormons, I saw the Mormons the other day,
mm-hmm.
and they gave me a card that says 17 points of a true church.
Now, who is this again that did this?
The Mormons.
Oh, the Mormons, okay.
The Mormons. Sometimes I get the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses mixed up, but anyway,
mm-hmm.
There is a big difference, somewhat, except they both don't believe that Jesus is God.
Right, right.
Or they do. They even try to tell you that they believe that Jesus is God. But if you study them, they don't.
Yeah, the Mormons believe that Jesus was the son of a physical, you know, produced by the physical relationship between Jehovah God and Mary, and that he's actually a brother of Lucifer, the devil, Satan. And then the Jehovah's Witnesses, of course, believe that Jesus is actually the first created being. He's really Michael the Archangel.
And the one question, the one wasn't not a question. They don't have any questions here. It says the true church must teach that God and Jesus have bodies of flesh and bone, and all these points that they say they back it up. They try to back it up with Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look in Acts 1, 9-11,
uh-huh.
It says that. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and in a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And,
right.
And the reason, and that's their answer. They're saying that that's Jesus and God.
God.
Well, you know, and they're saying the two men are Jesus and God.
Yeah.
Well, that's just absolutely ridiculous because, you know, let's just look at the context here, okay? The disciples are talking to Jesus. I mean, and it's plain that they're talking to Jesus. He's talking to them, and if somebody has a red letter edition of the New Testament, they can see it pretty easily because, you know, you see these words in red that's attributed to Jesus. But even if you don't have a red letter edition, you have in verse 6 where that says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And another way that you can know that this is Jesus is Acts is actually a continuation of the Gospel of Luke, if you look at it, because Luke is kind of like the Acts of Jesus, and then Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. And let me take a look here. When Jesus, or when we're in Luke chapter, the end of the Gospel of Luke, okay, the last chapter, chapter 24, it says this, and we'll come down here. You see Jesus talking with them, and then it says in verse 50, and he is clearly referring to Jesus that's been talking and talked about in this chapter. It says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So clearly this is Jesus carried up into heaven. And it says, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Well, that thing that says, and they worshipped him, meaning they're worshipping the one that was carried up into heaven. And why would they be worshipping somebody other than Jesus to begin with? And like you said here in Acts chapter 1, where he's talking with them, and here it says in verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And so here's Jesus ascending up into the air and received into the cloud, and while they're watching this, as he went up, verse 10 says this, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as Jesus went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. So Jesus, according to them, Jesus is ascending up into the air, into the cloud. They're watching Jesus ascend while Jesus is standing next to them along with Jehovah God, right?
Right.
It makes no sense, does it?
And what you just explained is exactly what I explained to them.
Yeah. When you look at the scripture, it's very clear.
Right.
And
I know I could go on.
Yeah. But these were simply two angels that were sent. And this was not Jehovah God standing there. This was not Jesus standing there while at the same time ascending up into heaven. Well, I mean, if Jesus is God, he can be in two places and two forms at the same time if he wants to. But there, what's the point of it here? There's nothing in the text. There's nothing in the context that indicates that these two are anything other than angels. They're messengers, and they deliver a message. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So which one of these two men that stood there is the one that said, well, it says that, you know, implies that they both say this. So if Jesus is standing there, now, let me just read it the way that they would have to say it, which said unto them, Jesus said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus was taken up from you to heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen me go up into heaven. It makes no sense, does it?
No.
Jesus standing there next to them saying, what are you looking at me ascending into heaven for? I'm going to come back the same manner you've seen me go.
Yeah, they said him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're referring to the man, the one who ascended up into heaven as Jesus.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just beyond me how people cannot put things in context.
You know, the sad thing about it, they do get people.
Oh, yeah.
Into this organization. Eh? So
mm-hmm.
people don't know the Word of God, and don't know Jesus as their Savior, then they could easily be entangled in all this mess.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why we need, as Paul wrote to Timothy, to study to show ourselves a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I'm paraphrasing it slightly to make the application. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be studying. We're supposed to be workmen, meaning we're going to the Scriptures and we're digging out the truth of the Scriptures. And he also said this to Timothy. This is one I wanted to go to in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 13. He says, "But evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Means they're going to get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived all the more. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And then he says in verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Yeah, the Scriptures are there for a reason. That's why Paul commended the Bereans, said they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And if you read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, you find that Paul had a lot of really complimentary things to say about those in Thessalonica. But he said the Bereans were nobler than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures daily. They were in the Scriptures, proving, the things that he said, whether they were true or not. They didn't just take his word for it. They searched the Scriptures. They dug into it, and they said, is this what Paul's saying supported by the Scriptures? They didn't. Here it is, the verse I was looking for, Acts 17 in verse 11, where it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." So they were ready to receive what God had delivered by God's messenger, but they weren't willing to just absorb it without double-checking it.
Yeah, that's why I do a lot of studying, because we need to study to show ourselves approved so that we're ready and have the whole armor of God on, and so that we're able to able to deal with all these people.
Right, because it's, think about it.
Like angels of light. They're like angels of light.
Absolutely. And how did Jesus resist the devil when he was tempted in the wilderness after fasting for 40 days after being baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist? Mm-hmm. Remember, Jesus went out into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days, and then the devil comes to him and tempts him. And in each case, remember, he said, "It is written," and he quoted Scripture to him.
That's right, amen.
That's a great thing to have in your arsenal.
But a lot of people, they have a King James Version with them too, eh? And they try to, they try to use the King James Version to try to explain what they're saying.
The Muslims, the Mormons use the King James Version of the Bible.
Right. I did.
Yeah, I think you said Islam or something, and I started to say Muslims myself. But yeah, the Mormons, they use the King James Version. But see, they share something in common with the Muslims, though. In the Quran and in Muslim teaching, if you have something that comes along later, something that's newer, and it contradicts something that was given earlier, you go with the newer one because they believe that supersedes or abrogates, I think is the term that they use, the older teaching. And the Mormons are much the same way. They believe that if you have a conflict between the Book of Mormon and the Bible, the King James Bible, and there's many conflicts between the Bible and the Book of Mormon. You go with the Book of Mormon because it came later, it's newer, and so therefore God changed things that were in the Bible. And then, of course, after the Book of Mormon, they have the Pearl of Great Price, the Doctrine and Covenants, and again, if something in there contradicts the Bible or the Book of Mormon, you go with those things because they're newer. And then ultimately it comes to where the president, the head Mormon, you know, depending on whether you're going with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or any one of the 100+ other groups that all consider themselves the true descendants of the teachings of Joseph Smith. They look at all of that and they say whatever their current leader says, it abrogates or it supersedes everything else. Just looking at the clock there, Terry, you got another caller yet to get to.
Okay.
And running out of time, but you're absolutely right. We need to study the scriptures because that's how we are able to stand up against this false doctrine, to know what the scriptures say. You know, brings meaning to when it says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, huh? So, yeah, well, I appreciate that, Terry. I know we'll talk about some of this stuff more in the future. So God bless. Have a great week, okay?
God bless.
All right, thanks. God bless. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got, I believe it's Delaney on, I think it is, next. Welcome.
It's D-Lane. It's like
E-Lane. Oh, D-Lane. Okay, I'm sorry. Looked on the screen almost like Delaney. So, D-Lane, good to have you tonight. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm awful nervous talking
on the air. Oh, that's okay. Just think you're talking to somebody on the telephone.
That's the best thing I can do because I'm awful nervous. It almost makes me ill. But I wanted to say, do you know anything? One pastor said that the word God is left out so many times in some of these later versions of the Bible. Do you know how many times like it is left out of them?
Well, it actually depends on the version that you use. Off the top of my head, I couldn't really tell you exactly how many times it's left out in some of these versions, but many of them have done that. And part of that is because the King James Version of the Bible is based on a different set of manuscripts than the modern versions are. The King James Version is based on what we call the Antiochian stream of manuscripts. It's a stream of manuscripts that go back to Antioch in Syria. Remember, in Antioch, that's where they were first called Christians. And in Acts chapter 13, that's where Paul and Barnabas went out on their first missionary journey. And then later, Paul and Silas went out on missionary journey from there at the church in Antioch. And this dates to the scriptures that they spread around as the New Testament was being written. And this is the scriptures that Bible-believing Christians used down through the ages. The modern versions, and when I say modern versions, we're thinking like the Revised Standard Version, the New International Version, the New New American Standard Version, the English Standard Version, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, in the 1800s, two individuals in England, priests with the Anglican Church, Westcott and Hort were their names, and they rejected many of the central Christian beliefs. They rejected the blood atonement. In fact, they referred to it in their letters to each other as a heresy. And they also questioned the deity of Christ and many things like that. And that's because they date back theologically in the line of some people going back all the way to Alexandria, Egypt, Origen, who had a school there, and he tried to integrate Greek philosophy and some other things with Christianity. He rejected the virgin birth. He rejected the deity of Christ. He rejected the blood atonement, all kinds of things. And so when they copied the scriptures in his school, they left a lot out because he said, I don't think this should be there. And so his students left it out. And Westcott and Hort found some manuscripts that descended from them. We call them the Alexandrian manuscripts. And as such, they left out many references to God and to Jesus as God and the deity of Christ, and as well as a number of other things. And as a consequence, Westcott and Hort were able to bring these in an attempt to replace the King James Bible, which was based upon the Antiochian family of manuscripts that uphold the deity of Christ and uphold God throughout them. So
I noticed in that one Bible where the same pastor was telling, it called Jesus instead of master, it used the word teacher, and mm-hmm. other places where they water it down.
Oh, absolutely. And again, sometimes a word can be translated more than one way, and the new versions, they use ways that really kind of, like you said, water down some of these teachings. And that's why I recommend the King James Version of the Bible, not the New King James, because they use these newer manuscripts and Alexandrian manuscripts to revise the King James with that. If you stick with the King James, and there's other benefits of the King James, not just what we're talking about. One of the other benefits is that the King James preserves the distinction between a personal, a singular personal pronoun and a plural personal pronoun. If it says ye, you, or your, that's a plural personal pronoun. If it says thee, thou, or thine, that's a singular personal pronoun. And there's some portions of the scripture that it's nearly impossible to know what they're saying unless you have that distinction. That's another thing that they've done. Another thing they've done is they've taken longer sentences in the King James, which followed the original language structure, and they break them up into shorter sentences that make choppy, almost bullet statements. And you lose the interrelatedness and interdependency of the clauses within these longer sentences. And again, it obscures the meaning. So the King James is actually much easier to understand, much more accurate in its presentation of the Word of God. And it's in all ways superior. It is God's Word preserved for us in the English language.
Do you know where can I hear this program or any of your other Late Night with Pastor Al's on the online?
Well, you can go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, livewithpastoral.com, and I have past programs that are there. And there's another program that I help out with, a gentleman who for many years, he's a bit older, and he's still, God's given him opportunity to do some of these teachings, a program called Where is God's Word? And there's a website for him called whereisgodsword.com. And so that would be livewithpastoral.com for mine, and then whereisgodsword.com for this other gentleman. His name's Bruce Musselman. Some of our listeners are very familiar with him. And he's been writing about the these Bibles and the attack on the Word of God probably since, I guess, the 1960s or 70s. So, and also at his website, whereisgodsword.com, there's some references to some other books and materials and websites of information that you can get. So hopefully that helps you out.
Yeah, thank you.
I know. Well, we covered a couple of weeks worth of material in 5 minutes. So thank you for that. I appreciate your call there. And I hope you'll call back again sometime. Appreciate that.
Could I either call in next week or tomorrow?
Sure, sure you can. Sure you can. And we're out of time now, though. I want to thank you for listening. Join us on our Friday program. We're going to be talking about human trafficking with the Hugh Jackson Foundation. And so join us then. God bless. Have a great week.
Yeah.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.